Great. Okay, now I'd like to introduce Michael, who's going to be our speaker. He's going to share his experience, strength, and hope for 20 minutes on step 11. Go ahead, Michael. It's all yours, and I'll give you a five-minute warning.
Thanks. I'm Michael. I'm an addict and an alcoholic, and I have recovered from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body that drug my ass in here, right? But I am not cured. So I live in the solution today. I'm living in recovery, but I haven't had to pick up a drink or a drug for quite a while, and that's a miracle. But how do I keep it? How do I maintain it? How do I grow in it? How do I stay very close to that power, have a relationship and access to that power? Some of us are going to call it love. Some of us call it God. I'm good with both. There's also a lot of other great names for it. But even today, I will seek through prayer and meditation to improve my contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So that's the step out of the book. I think that's the original manuscript version. And we had to include in there as we understood them and conscious contact and some of the other words that are in there. But the basis of it is, am I seeking a real relationship with something real that can affect my life every single day? Not just keep me sober, but like give me a real life worth living sober. And is that the thing that I am seeking today? Or, and maybe some of you can relate to this, but this is how it looked like for me, madly searching for some answer to the problem or feeling at hand. Searching everywhere. Madness, chaos, confusion, hurt. And a lot of adrenaline, a lot of all over the place, Michael. Like, if I could settle down, I could be effective for, you know, a few minutes, a few hours, or even a few weeks at a time. And then something would come up that would stir something in me. And I'd be off and running again, whether it was the drink or the drug or in sobriety, the person or the situation that I had to change to feel good on the inside. The searching for self-help books or the next seminar or, you know, if I get that better job with the cash, money, prizes, success, I will feel better then. And so the reason why I'm bringing that up for me is because I was searching for something that I could use to fix me or I could use to feel better, even when it wasn't a drink or a drug. And I didn't see how addictive that had come up in my life. And that's still not sought or seeking the one solution that I've now found today. And that is a connection with a loving creator, loving source, loving power, creator, spirit of the universe, the great unnameable. There's so many wonderful names. And then some of our religions and some of our churches have more specific names too. If we found something that's working for us, you're right. You're right. That's where I'm at with the God thing today. But I didn't come here necessarily for that. And I didn't think it was actually going to work for me because, you know, I thought I was an atheist. Bill talks about, hey, I really never was an atheist. Few of us really are. Come to find out, that was very much true for me. I had always believed in something, but I was so disconnected from the church of my upbringing and from the people around me personally and spiritually that I had no access to any of that. So you guys give me access through higher power of our own understanding and some of the other accessible words. And so now I can start with prayer. That's where I started, was with prayer. I didn't have a lot of belief, but I had a lot of problems. And you guys said that if I prayed on them, I would get some relief. And honestly, I was looking for relief when I first got it, was relief. I just want some relief for my problems. But as I started to see that the prayer worked, I made it successfully through a day or two or three or more without picking up a drink or a drug or burning the enemy of the day, enemy du jour, burning their house down or slashing their tires. If I didn't go and act out in some of those destructive ways, I called that a success. And then I started to see that the prayer component worked. Okay, I don't necessarily believe in God or any of that other stuff, but the prayer part works. And then as I started to see that the prayer part works, I mean, it just kind of was a natural next like next position to be in. It's like, well, maybe there's something that I'm praying towards, or maybe there is this God thing or any of the other numbers, names that people are using. Wow. Okay. And so I did. I looked spirit of the universe, kind of nature, kind of some kind of like generic large thing that I didn't have to look up at the old white bearded dude up on the throne. That was the image from my Lutheran upbringing in Sunday school and all of the exposure. That's all that could come to mind when I actually said God at first. So I'd have something, you know, larger than that human figure up on the throne. And then, you know, that probably wasn't sufficient at some point either, because, you know, nature, the ocean, and some of the elements around me that are beautiful didn't have a real way of loving on me. They didn't have a way of changing my life in the way that I now have a God in my life that actually can change my heart and change my life. So sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I now understand him, or some of us, you know, kind of laugh, or my lack of understanding, right? I'm okay with both. There's a certain amount of God that I understand and how God's working in my life today. And I'm going to say that. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying I have a certain level of understanding of how God works in my life today. Is there more? Is that all? Not even. God's infinite. God's ultimate. But I have so much more understanding and discernment around my relationship with God and what God's vision for me today is than I've ever had before in my life. So I do have some understanding of that today. If I didn't, or if we didn't, we probably wouldn't be here, right? And then at some point, I'm going to learn to pray only for the knowledge of God's will for me, the vision of what God wants me to do today, and then also the power to carry that out. In my story, there was a lot of times when I didn't give a shit whether I did the right thing or not. I just wanted what I wanted when I wanted it, and that's it. Like demand, 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 now, now, now. I had a disease of want. I want this, I want that, right? And maybe some of you guys can relate to this, but there were times when I actually wanted to do better. There were times when I had kind of a change of heart or a change of circumstance, or I met a different person and I wanted to do better. I wanted to do better. I really did want to do better. Not the drink, not the drug, not the being mean or, you know, abusive behavior to my coworkers and such. I wanted to be better. And then I lacked the power to actually pull it off. Like, oh, now I'm really stuck. Like, now I actually want to get better, sincerely want to get better, and I can't. So I'm asking for the knowledge of God's will. The word that keeps coming up, and it's another part of the book too, I think it's in our last step, is the vision of God's will in my life, because it's more than just what I do in my actions today. It's my attitude, it's my spirit, it's the love and energy that I give around me. I mean, we're on Zoom. We're impacting each other 10,000 miles across the planet. There's more to it than just Michael's will working today in my life. But then I also need the power to carry it out. Because good intentions and good ideas and a desire to do better isn't enough for a guy like me. Especially, I mean, I'm looking down the room. We got 17 people here. 17 people that are having miracles happen in their life and then going out and helping other people have miracles in their life. That's not human will, guys. There's not enough power to do that. I couldn't keep myself sober. How am I going to help keep somebody else sober on my own power or participate in their sobriety, emotionally sober or physically sober or both, hopefully? So something more has to be at work here. And then I go back to, oh, is that the power I'm seeking? Yes, it is. But here's something important for me is, am I still seeking it today? Or have I had just enough of that power? And now I'm going to go run my life, whatever the heck way I want. And I've done that before. You know, you get a little bit of power working back in your life and it feels good. Hey, I don't have to go to as much meetings now. Oh, wow. That prayer meditation, I'll do it on Saturday morning when I have time, right? Well, maybe Tuesday night when the heat's really on me too. So twice a week, right? Or is it going to be a constant and everyday practice? And I think I might wrap it up in this kind of area here is, so I start with reading 84 to 88 to be familiar with the language and the ideas and the spiritual path that we're going to be on. I start reading 84 to 88 and I started that at the very beginning of the first workshop that I was in with the Big Book Awakening. And I started to get familiar with it, even though I wasn't in step 10 and 11. But then I get to a place after I've worked the steps in between, you know, 4 to 9, and I'm a new place now and a new kind of more sincere heart to do these things in my life because I've been given my life back. You know, there's this kind of paradoxes in spirituality or everywhere, right? So I've become this new person. But then a part of it is I also start to realize that I'm actually becoming the person I was actually originally designed to be to begin with. So I'm not a different person, but frequently I feel like a new person, like a different person, right? But a better understanding for me today is that I just gain access to the real person that God wanted me to be, that I was born to be. And each of us can do that too. So today in step 11, I've now taken it to where I'm doing it all dang day. You know, I mean, Dan Sherman in a couple of his talks talks about that as like, oh, I pray all day long. Why just give prayer and meditation a few minutes in the day, throughout my day, all day long? Do I do a dedicated prayer practice in the morning? Yes. Yes, I do. Are there times when I skip it or it gets skipped? Yep, for sure. Yeah. But most days, I get up in the morning, rolling out of bed in prayer. God, thank you. God, this is wonderful. God, so-and-so needs some support. This morning I woke up and there's a family in my life that is in crisis mode, and they are. They're just in crisis mode, and Michael can't change their crisis mode, but I can pray for them. And I woke up this morning praying for them. And I do not know what prayer does to change their life and their household, but I know when I pray for another human being, it changes me. It changes me. And then I have more power to go into God's world and do what I'm supposed to. Maybe I'm not supposed to help that family directly. Maybe I'm supposed to show up at my workplace and do a really effective job today and carry a smile or a good attitude to my customers or people I run into. So those are some of the ways that I implement that power throughout my day. But I wake up pretty much in prayer every day, and then I'll stop and pause and I'll meditate. And sometimes it's in the backyard when I'm really, really fortunate and I take my flip-flops off and kind of get my feet in the dirt and just kind of pause it out. Contemplative, kind of like some thoughts come to me, I'll write them down. And then other times I try and do a practice 1-2 breathing, just silencing my mind, silencing my mind. And I do both throughout the week. And then other times I'm forced to do it at, you know, 3:15 in the afternoon because I'm in crisis mode and I realize I need it again. You know, I do. But I have those tools in my life today. Why I bring some of that part up is because if I limited myself to prayer and meditation in the morning or morning and night, I would be missing the rest of the hours of my day that are just connected to source, guys, connected to source. I use God in prayer in business decisions, business difficulties. I use them in personal difficulties. I use them when I'm feeling emotionally unwell or unbalanced. I use God all day long. We have this amazing relationship. God's like, well, why not? I'm right here with you. Before I suffered, and this came to me recently, I think one of our mentors shared it with us, and it hit me hard, and it keeps coming up, is for years I've suffered from the delusion that there was no God. Then I suffered from the delusion there was no access to God. And then I suffered from the delusion that God didn't want to help me. Like, oh yeah, I have this relationship, but God doesn't want to be bothered. God wants to be with me, apparently, all day long. And then I look and I turn, and God is right there to ask and ask and turn to. And today I have this really like friendly, warm, loving, friend is a good word for it, but it's far beyond what a friendship is. It's way too intimate for that. So the God that's over there is really right here. Deep down inside each and every one of us, the book talks about, and I think that's really come true in my life. So 84 to 88 is a great place to start over and over and over again. Get familiar with step 10 and 11, and then practice prayer and meditation every single day and go for it. Let God reveal to you how that practice is going to look. Compare notes with all of us that are doing really good things in spiritual paths. See what works for you. Do those in addition to our step practices. Do those along with. That's all I got, guys. I've had a great time sharing with you all, and I hope each of us had something to take away. So thanks for letting me share. That was my step 11 today. much.
Great. Thank you, Michael. That was great. Judith, will you stop the recording, please?